Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to the show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about binge listening to podcasts. Is that the way you learn how to do this or not? For some people, yes. For some people, no. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Pete asks, hi, everybody. I'm looking at purchasing some properties in a subdivision that is fairly hilly. My question is, how much slope on a property should be considered too much? Let's say the property had a 15% slope. Would that make it difficult to sell? Thanks for any help that can be offered.
Pete, this is a great question. We all want to buy property like next to E.T.'s house, you know, where it's all gently rolling and beautiful and you have views and stuff. But that's not how, in reality, when you subdivide property, or a developer subdivides a bunch of a subdivision, that's not real. And what happens? They have to grade it all out and make sure it's okay. So what happens with that is just like when you bake a cake, you know, there's some stuff left over. There might be a couple legs left over and some stuff on the counter before you get the end product's done. Same thing happens when you subdivide real estate. There's usable property and unusable property for the reasons that you're talking. Maybe the slope's different. There's all kinds of things, easements that need to go in. Mm-hmm. So the trick is when you look at a plat map, you know, to find out what is usable and what's not. And while unusable property is certainly not valueless, there is some value to it. It's a lot less than usable property. So right. One of the things that can kill it is slopes. So I literally purchased a property. This is long before Google Earth was an option. That was in the inside of the Grand Canyon. It was subdivided and then it eroded away. Mm-hmm. Man, it took me 2 years to sell that property. You know, this is among 25 properties a day that we were selling back then. Mm-hmm. And finally, I sold it to a rock climber, and he just wanted to tell his friends that he's rock climbing on his own property in the Grand Canyon. When you think about it, if you're part of that kind of social network, that's pretty freaking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got pictures of himself and the whole thing climbing on his own property.
Right.
So as far as the slope goes, 15% is really pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is make sure go to Google Earth Pro, which is now free. It's been free for a few years. And make sure your terrain is turned on, and then make sure the property is usable. If it's subdivided property versus, you know, 40 acres somewhere, make sure that it's usable property and that you can, I don't know, get to it in the whole regular 4A scenario. If you're not familiar with the 4As, listen to some other podcasts, which brings us to our topic, binge listening to podcasts.
Huh. I have two things to add to this, if I may. One is, we've saw, Mike, remember that 40-acre property? There's one that we had that was half flat to rolling to a slope. And I remember you describing it as a protective ridge, and the people loved it who sold it. So that was cool. So yeah. Properly describe the property, and it may, even though it has a slope, there may still be a pad or something there that you could work with. So depending on the size of the property, number one. Number two, even more importantly, what's around there? Because there's so many people that have properties and acreage and homes and things. And you know what? That slope might be their view, believe it or not. And they might love to have that property just to know, you know, like we have a family member who just did this recently, you know, bought the lot next door so no one would build on it. That's it. And it was it wasn't the best property to build on anyway. But the whole point was, I just don't want anybody there. It's going to mess with my view. And you know what? I want the privacy. And I would like to have this size of a lot instead of a, you know, I'd rather have a 2-acre lot than a 1-acre lot, you know, kind of thing. And know that. So, and no one considered even considered the slope. It was what was around there and where it was, period.
Yeah, so it's hard to, when you see a lot of new people in our group coming in and saying, all right, what's the rule? Is 15% slope too much, or is 14% Or is it 16? Right. You can't tell. Right. Go on to Google Earth and really take a look and kind of see if it's usable. Mm-hmm. Usability is the question. There's got to be some slopey property that somebody wants for sure. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want any stinking flat property. I want some slopey property.
Right.
Like a protective ridge, like Jill's saying.
Yeah, and people sometimes when there's a slope, that's great. Okay, that maybe that puts them up a little bit higher. I can build something right up here and have this much of a little bit of view of the valley.
Here's some other unsolicited advice, which is really what this whole show is.
Advice.
Unsolicited advice.
It's true.
It's your fault for listening. No.
It's like my dad. You know, we're going to sit you down and you're going to get some unsolicited advice. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, Dad. Really, Dad?
Dad.
Oh, my God, Dad. On every single piece of property over like 5 acres, let's say 5 to anything, I'm telling you, there's an extremely good chance that there's 2,000 or 3,000 square foot flat pad to build something on. So when you look at a 40-acre property, it's all slopey and weird. There's some place on that property that's buildable.
That's
think
what
about
I think.
Like Malibu, or there's a lot of places in Arizona like this that, you know, they blow the side out of a mountain.
It's true.
You look at the piece of property raw. It's unengineered, and it's like there's no way. And then 3 months later, there's a house up there with a flat pad and a Corian countertop.
Right, and it's worth a fortune because look where they are. Look how
created
cool that
your own
is.
Lot. So
they did.
You got to be positive about it.
Yep.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, binge listening to podcasts. Is that the way you learn how to do this or not? You decide. This is the meat of the show. People learn stuff all different ways. I'm a doer. I have to sit. I'm a YouTube-aholic. I have to watch somebody else do it and then do it myself and fail at it 6 times and then I learn how to do it. Jill is a reader.
Mm-hmm.
She reads the things in a textbook.
Wow.
And learn that way.
Jack, I was literally writing reader as you said reader because I am, I'm a reader.
And get to know the person you live with, by the way.
Cross that off.
Some people, like Seth Williams, a guy in our world. Yeah, in our group.
Mm-hmm.
Is famous for saying, you can learn how to do this for free. You do not have to pay anyone a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take you about 9 years to listen
to
all the podcasts and read all the blogs and do all that stuff. Or you can speed through it, you know, through the education products that we all have. But
save 8.5 years.
But if binge listening to podcasts is how you do this, or you, then that's more power to you. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I binge watch Netflix things when they come out.
I
lose whole weekends on
yes, you do. Where's Jack? I don't know. I really don't know. But he can tell you all about the Mexican cartel.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
That it really explain the whole drug trafficking business in the 70s and 80s.
What is Dad talking about? I don't know. Don't pay any attention.
I'm learning how to speak Spanish. That's
exactly.
What it is.
Yeah, there's Spanish lessons.
I don't know, Jill. Do you think binge listening to podcasts, is that how you, what do you do? How do you learn? Like, what do you... How do you learn how to write? You're killing it right now as a writer.
You know what's funny? I'm a reader. So if I want to learn something, I buy 4 different books, 4 different viewpoints on the same topic. That's really what I do.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Because I want to get different perspectives. I really do. And as far as podcasts, you know what's funny? Just, I don't know why... I'm just, maybe it's just a quiet. For me, it's, I like quiet. I get in the car even, and I often don't even turn on the radio. I quiet and I think. But I love going to talks and things like that. So I'm trying to think, it's kind of interesting. I'm not a binge podcast listener. I hope that's not bad to say as we're doing
it's
a
everybody's,
podcast.
You know, it's everybody's own thing.
Yeah. And even binge TV. But you know what the difference is, though? I can turn things on and off, and a lot, and some people can't, and I can retain it. But having said that, there's a lot to be said for repetition. One of the good things about binge listening, especially on a topic that you're really interested in, the more that you listen and the more that you hear and the more you're going to absorb and you won't even know it. So that's actually really good. So I've done that. I'll blurt out statistics and facts. I'm like, how the heck did I know that? But it's stuff that you said or something we were listening
geez, don't
to.
Do that.
I know. Yeah, that could be scary. So just kidding. But you retain. You know what? You retain more than you realize that you do. So I probably should change my game here, because
I don't think you should change anything.
Aw, thank you, Jack.
It. Don't change a darn thing.
Okay, thank you. But I do know a lot of people that they walk around with headphones on, and I know that they're listening to this and they're absorbing stuff, and every time they get something out of it, and that's fantastic.
Here's the way I don't learn anything: by sitting in a classroom and listening to somebody stand up there and writing on a chalkboard.
Oh.
I don't know what that, hopefully that stopped with the internet. I mean, entirely. It's, kids still go pay a ton of money to sit and listen to somebody who's probably unqualified.
Right.
Teach a class about some stuff that doesn't matter. So hopefully that education will catch up with reality at some point. Probably won't happen while we're alive, Jill.
You know what's great about podcasts is you can really pick and choose exactly what you want. You know, it's not your binge listening to English 101.
Yeah.
Or you're binge listening to business.
Yeah, you want to be entertained. I was going to say, that was my second point here.
Oh.
No, it's okay. I don't listen. I listen to whatever, the stuff that I listen to personally is not, it's all entertainment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to learn.
Oh.
So everybody's different.
Isn't that funny? When I do listen, I am going for a reason.
But I do not go onto YouTube to be entertained at all. I go onto YouTube to find out how to produce a podcast or how to pilot a yacht.
Got
or
it.
Whatever. But and I watch somebody else do it, and hopefully they fail at it a few times, so I can avoid making those mistakes. So, I mean, that's why if you want to be a real estate investor, that's what you should be using, whatever you're listening to, watching, or however source you get to it, asking questions, failing at a mailer. I mean, that's the whole name of the game. It's get some stuff out of the mail, make a bunch of mistakes, make an idiot out of yourself. Get mm-hmm. comfortable making an idiot, complete idiot out of yourself in front of the people you love.
Yeah.
And then you're making progress.
You know what I don't like? I don't like fluff listening. I mean, except for car talk, because I do like car talk. That's really kind of funny. But you know what, though? I still kind of feel
that's
like...
fluff. That's entertainment.
I know, it's still entertainment. And like when I used to listen to radio stations more, now it's more, it's really more directed listening. I don't know what the right term is, but focus listening or something. Like I said, I'm going for a topic if I'm doing it. But totally lost that train of thought.
No, like morning talk radio and how overproduced and fake it is.
Oh, that's
what I can't stand. Or like Fox News, I can't stand it. And
yeah.
It has nothing to do with the right or left wing content. It has to do with the animated, you know, monkey jumping up and down on a desk. Crazy.
Right.
It's just, you know, again, nothing to do with right or left or any of that. It's just the production of the way that it is, I can't stand it.
Right.
Or two ding-dongs, 22-year-old ding-dongs on a morning talk show on real radio, on, you know, FM radio,
mm-hmm.
talking about some social thing that happened to a celebrity. And I can't stand
that.
Yeah,
maybe that's
a massive waste of time. Everybody's time. It's just pop culture garbage.
I'm just so off the way the radio is.
Yeah.
Now, you're right. It's annoying to me. I don't want to hear about, like you just said, some of the segments that they come up with about, you know, silly things from a newspaper in Texas. I'm sorry, I'm not interested.
I'll watch a cooking show before I listen or watch that.
Right.
And so, I don't like cooking shows.
It's interesting now how broadcasting industry, radio, is paying attention to podcasting, and it's becoming more, they're getting it. They see the audience. There's a huge shift. Well, you're listening, so you obviously know, but there is such a huge shift, and broadcasting is a little bit behind, and they're going, what just happened?
95% of the listening audience in this country listens to podcasts. They mm-hmm. don't listen to the radio.
Bingo.
But all the radio people, Jill and I just got back from a conference, in case you couldn't tell.
Right.
But most of the radio people still have this attitude that, you know,
they're number one.
We don't know what we're doing. And our whole attitude is, yeah, I know we don't know what we're doing, but we have 6 listeners.
Soon to be 9.
No. Or 4.
Right.
You don't know.
Exactly.
So if binge listening and to podcasts or watching YouTube videos or any of that stuff works for you, that's the whole takeaway from this. Figure out what works for you and jump on it and do something about it.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Join us in another episode where we discuss working 90 hours a week to avoid a 40-hour a week job.
This is going to be funny. I love it. And we answer Peter's question about pricing infill lots.
Good. Pricing.
That'll be awesome.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Hey, like our show? Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.